the first sports talk show live. We are live. We ain't recorded. We are live coming into your living room, your car, your headset, whatever it is, your earbuds. I don't even know, but we are here. We are the League Sports Talk Show, sponsored by Nashville Toyota North, and I am the coach. I'm the coach because I'm a coach. I've coached for 20 years, a long time football coach, basketball coach, and I try and coach myself in golf. I've got my guys next to me. I got Sedge, I got V, I got Randall. How you guys doing this morning?
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Great to be the Raider. Let's go. Let's do this. We are the first responders for sports.
We are. That is correct. I mean, it's so exciting to get up early in the morning and to know the first thing that I get to do and the last thing I did last night was talk sports, watch sports. That's just the story of my life. So excited to be here this morning. Got a lot to talk about. I've got a special guest coming on here just a little bit after the half-hour mark, so you don't want to miss that. One of the long-time sports legends, variety of things that he'll be here to talk about, but a variety of things that he has done and is doing in his career. So we're excited to have him on after the half hour this morning. We are going to talk. We are going to talk Titans football. We're going to talk NBA, and we're probably going to talk for the final time for a long time a Grizzlies basketball. But a few things that happened this week in the NBA. Of course, the series are going on. We'll talk about that a little bit. But an MVP was named. You know, typically when I think about the MVP, the NBA, you tell me, gentlemen, but it seems like anytime they pick the NBA, it's going to be somebody from the best team with the best player versus maybe not such a great team, but the best player. What do you think about that?
Correct. I'm okay with Joe Embiid. But I really think the player I think that was MVP is Tatum from Boston Celtics.
Why do you think that?
Oh, man, he's fabulous. He carries that team. I mean, I know he has a little help with the other guard, but you take him off the team, there's no way they're top seed.
Yeah, so Joel Embiid wins it. Happy for him. You know, I mean, it's been years of everybody saying he has to be the MVP. It was really down to three players, in my opinion. Jokic, and say that three times fast for me. Giannis and Joel Embiid. Yeah, I mean, those were kind of the three that I thought were the ones that were it. I wanted to give you a list, by the way. And by the way, do you agree with the pick, Embiid? No. You said Tatum, no?
I would take Joker before I take Embiid.
Yeah. I mean, you know, really, honestly, of the three, the top three, if you will, you really couldn't have gone wrong with either one. But let me tell you who has won it recently, okay? And I've got a question for you guys around this to talk, and sports fans out there be thinking about this with us. But you have Joel Embiid, who wins it this year.
Okay.
21-22 was Jokic. Okay. Giannis, 19-20. Okay. And then prior to that, boy, this is starting to go some throwbacks to some guys that are on the other side of their career, in my opinion. You got James Harden in 18, Russell Westbrook in 17. Here was a surprising one to me. It's been 7 seasons since Steph Curry has won an MVP.
Wow.
I'm going to say that again. It's been 7 seasons since Steph Curry has won an MVP. And then I want to follow that up by saying in 2000, that was Steph Curry in 15 and 16. Okay. And then prior to that in 14 was Kevin Durant. Okay. And then it has been, listen to me now, and don't call me a homer for LeBron because he's a Laker and he plays in the purple and gold, because I know you're going to call me that. LeBron hasn't won an MVP in 10 years. So you got Steph Curry and LeBron, who, in my opinion, Steph Curry and probably a lot of your opinions as well, but sports fans out there, but I mean, you can love him, hate him, whatever. You can hate the mouthpiece chewing, which I can't stand, okay? And you can dislike LeBron and whatever, okay? I get all that, right? But there is a reality. Were they not the best player on their team, and did they not lead teams?
Championships,
because LeBron won a championship in the bubble, okay? Mm-hmm. Steph has won championships since then. Why is it that those guys, those two of the most significant players in the NBA have not had a chance, really even a shot the last few years to win MVP? Why?
It seemed like they felt sorry for him. I mean, it was like every time you look around, you go, oh, he needs to win. He's the big. No. I mean, big guy, but I didn't really.
Maybe they want to, you know, prep the stars up, the young stars.
I think
they have to.
It seemed like they felt sorry for him. It's like every time you look, you know, when you look at it, go, oh, he needs to win it because he, what? I mean,
I'd rather win the championship MVP.
I'm with Coach. I like Coach. Joker. Coach. I like Joker.
Coach, yeah. I'd rather win the NBA championship MVP.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother level, right?
So I mean, I think that has something to do with, I think the MVP is kind of a showcase for them to kind of, if they got a young star, just kind of get him out there.
And agree to disagree with it. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it should be the best player on the basketball team. Can you be on a losing team or can you be on a non-playoff team and be the MVP of the entire league? I'm going to say no, because you obviously didn't do your job to help get your team to where you need to get to. I know it's not ever about one player on a team. I get that. The Lakers are showing that right now with just all the different pieces that they put together at the trade deadline and what they've been doing. But, you know, I thought about this with Giannis, and we talked about it last week, how in not just our show but all across the country – of Giannis, his description of it's not a failure to lose in the first round after having the best record in the NBA, them in Denver. And now what happened this week is Coach gets fired. Now, I'm a coach, guys, and I never, ever want to see anybody get fired necessarily, right? But this guy, two years removed from a championship. No, I'll say that again. An NBA champion two seasons ago, and they lose. I don't know what's going on with Milwaukee, but and them firing their coach. But now Giannis, isn't that a failure?
I think when you remove your head coach, it is.
Yeah. It's organization.
Yes.
And to me, he had a legitimate reason. I mean, you lost your leading scorer for the first couple of games.
Sure.
Right.
I mean – he can't play with a – you're a coach, right?
Yeah.
Can you play any sport without a back?
No, I mean
– no, really?
You know, I mean, you know
– you can't.
You can't. I mean, but again, you're playing an 8 seed. Now, you're playing an 8 seed. The team's an 8 seed for a reason, right? And that's probably because they hovered around somewhere around 500. I don't remember what their mark was.
Correct.
But they were an 8 seed. And you just listen to me. You can't be and maybe this is, and this is one thing I was thinking about this week, guys. When you're having more teams, like the Lakers were the 7 seed, okay, they beat the 2 seed. Mm-hmm. You have the Heat who beat the Bucks, right? The 8 seed beating the 1. Mm-hmm. And then shift for a minute with me. I know we need to shift our minds in this, but in hockey, you have the Boston Bruins who had the President's Cup trophy in their hands, the best record. No. Not just the best record in the NHL, Preds fans, but they were the best ever.
Ever.
The most points, the most wins, and the Florida Panthers come in and say, no. As the Kimby Natumbo waving the finger, no. You're not going to do that to us. And, you know, the Panthers had a little bit of that because who was the President's Cup trophy winner the prior year was the Florida Panthers.
Right.
So in each of our leagues, we're the league sports talk show, right? So we're talking about each of the leagues, and Preds fans, that should give you hope when you go into the playoffs, hopefully next year, because it's a bummer when the Preds aren't there. But
correct.
This should give not just the Preds, but really any team that's anywhere in the bottom half of the tier of teams in the NHL, in the NBA, in any league, that you can win a championship or get to a championship, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And I mean, think about the Preds season. You know, Preds season was off and on and off and on, right? It was up, down, up, down, up, down. And then they got to the end. They were just too many points behind to collect themselves to make it in the playoffs. But, hey, listen, you make it in the playoffs as a bottom-tier seed.
You can win. I think in hockey, it's a small margin. You have an excellent goalie.
Right, right.
He keeps you in the game.
Which we do, is the Preds have an excellent goalie. So
you're thinking, my goalie gives a one goal.
Yeah.
We battling. Mm-hmm. Now we in the extra period. Mm-hmm. I get a breakaway.
Yeah.
I win. And so, I mean, I think that's one of the sports there is a small margin. Even if you're a 1 seed or 8 seed, if your goalie gets hot,
yeah,
stops everything, you're in it.
Yeah. You are. I mean, you know, I watched. I'm a Kings fan. I know I'm a West Coast, Left Coast.
You really
homer.
Are.
I am. I'm just being honest with you. I'm a Lakers fan, a UCLA guy, an LA Kings guy, all that good stuff.
Padres,
USC,
them Padres, yeah. Padres, Tatis with two blasts last night against the Dodgers.
Oh. A line.
The Dodgers
line.
Don't own the Padres anymore. Thank the Lord.
He owns Kershaw.
We have revival in San Diego and Southern California.
He owns Kershaw.
He does. He does. But the Kings were in a similar situation. I'm sitting there watching the Kings are up 3-0 in the first period of their I want to say it was game 5 against Edmonton, and they get three goals, and the Edmonton pulls their goalie. Well, then what do you think happens in the second period? The LA Kings give up 3 goals, you know, and so you're right. It is goaltending, but I just want to make a point, guys, because any of these sports, and that's why we love sports, is because you never really know until you know.
That's right.
8 seeds winning, best teams with the best records being ousted. And, you know, a lot of people love that. I mean, does anybody really want to watch the Florida Panthers? I haven't watched a Florida Panthers game in maybe ever until this season because it's been so intriguing to me. So, Preds fans, you have absolute hope.
Yes.
And sports fans in general, it really doesn't matter where your team is. As long as you get into your league's tournament.
There you go.
That's what you got to do. You just got to make it into that tournament. And speaking of that, you know, the Grizzlies did make it into the tournament. Memphis, and it's shifting back to the NBA with me, guys, they did make it into the tournament.
Yes.
They're a 2 seed. And what happened again? A 7 seed beats a 2 seed. Okay, now we're seeing the trickle down effect of what I believe is a disoriented and a lax leadership program, sports team that is the Memphis Grizzlies. And how do we know? Well, the season had barely ended, right? The lights had barely been turned out, and Dylan Brooks is sent packing.
Bye-bye.
Okay. My favorite guy.
Favorite.
Who would never be a teammate with me. Bye-bye. But, you know, and then it goes even further to where, you know, parting shots where he just has to say, well, you know, they didn't really know how to use me. You know, it was either 3s and D, and that was about it for me. You know, I'm Dylan Brooks, and I'm a better player than that. I'm more a rounded player. Well, no, you're not. Okay. Because you didn't show it in the playoffs. When they needed you, when that team needed you to ball out, you're not a 3-and-D, okay? Because you couldn't cover LeBron, right? After him being in the league for 20 years, you couldn't cover him because you poked the bear, and you upset your whole locker room. And I don't know this for a fact, but it seems like to me, with how quickly, gentlemen, Dylan Brooks was released from the team, that I don't think management and ownership liked it either.
No.
What are your thoughts?
I think... something was said to him. And I guess with management, it was a response. Because when they say you're out, you know, leave your jersey over here, you're out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it had to be a conversation with him and management, you know, not just his play, but I think something was said because, you know, I'm sure Mike called LeBron and said, hey, you know what you need to do. You know, he put the fire on him. And so I think, you know, according to a friend of mine, something was said to him. And his response was what got him ousted out.
Yeah. Oh, well, man.
And maybe the management is doing a shift. Maybe they want to get away from that.
Yeah.
I think they learned several things this year. Don't poke the bear. Mm-hmm. And the mentality. I think the Grizzly mentality they portrayed was not a good look. So I think saying, hey, we're going to part ways.
Yeah.
I think they're sending a message that next year we're not going to be the same Grizzlies. It's going to be a different Grizzlies team.
Do you think with John Morant, you think that followed?
That's a superstar.
I'm just saying.
Let's look at the pecking order.
But when you look at it, you look at him and you're saying, okay, I'm untouchable. Then here he comes in, you know, I'm poking the bear, so I'm getting you.
Dylan Brooks, Ja Morant.
Yeah, mentality.
Dylan can go all day.
Or behavior.
Let's be honest. Great coach, okay? Stay with me, coach. You the coach.
Mm-hmm.
You got Dylan Brooks, Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you, you could take one. Who you going to take?
No, I mean, you're going to take Ja Morant 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And to your point, Randall, the encyclopedia of sports over there.
Yes.
You know, to your point, here was the difference for me between – I'm not talking about play. I'm talking about what seems to be as a person,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because play all day long, you got Ja Morant.
Yes.
What you didn't see and hear from Dylan Brooks was, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And I don't expect that from him anyway, you know, based on some of the things he has said. I don't expect that. But when it comes to Ja Morant, as the season ended, what was the article in ESPN where he said, I'm the one that was responsible for much of our demise.
Took responsibility.
Yeah, sure did. So, you know, it's the good news is for the Grizzlies is –
there's next season.
You have next season. You have next season, and you have a superstar.
Yeah.
You have a superstar, and we said it a couple weeks ago, gentlemen, they need leadership.
Yes.
They need senior leadership, and, you know, we'll talk about that as we move, you know, through the summer here as who's going to be out there as free agents, who's going to leave. But there are a couple pieces away to where I think they can really.
I say one piece.
One piece?
Give me a good big.
Yeah.
Good big, I think, yes. And they freed up cap space. Dylan's gone.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they freed. So, oh yeah, but, you know, but it goes back to these teams. These teams. What's that? I didn't catch it.
They freed up space.
Yeah. They did.
$5. You
know, yeah.
I don't care. If we're paying him $2 million, I got $2
million. $2 million more to spend.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, you know, I look at it as because we always talk about the big, not always, but since LeBron in Miami did his big three there, and a lot of the teams have kind of tried to model their teams after it. The Brooklyn Nets tried it unsuccessfully, terrible results over there. But a lot of these teams, you know, Lakers obviously have tried it, you know, the big three. And is it big three? Well, I mean, heck, if you've got three superstars out there, you're definitely going to have a chance night in and night out to win a game and win consistently. Absolutely. If you gel. But we've seen that some players just don't gel.
No.
I mean, some players, probably the most disappointing player over the last, I would say, 6 years, maybe five or so, would be Ben Simmons. I mean, that whole situation with Ben Simmons is just mind-boggling to me. What's that?
Not just him. Westbrook. I mean, Westbrook went top of the pile to under the porch, you know, real quick.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, I think with him, with Westbrook and Ben Simmons, I think the pressure. I think today's athletes, most of the ones in the NBA.
Say it.
Have a problem with leadership.
Hmm.
They scared of leadership.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say leadership,
but you.
But you have to look at it because what I mean the pressure. Let's say the pressure.
I don't think they can handle the pressure.
Yeah,
or
pressure.
How can I say it? They don't have any heart.
Yeah,
mental fortitude.
You know,
big word.
Good word. We talking to coach.
Way to bring it. That's a good one.
Some players have the ump. They can take the extra baggage. You know, they can take the criticism and it not affect them.
Mm-hmm.
We all know Ben Simmons cracked when Embiid and him talked about him.
Yeah.
When he was there. And he never came back.
No.
Well, all of them.
And hasn't.
All of them.
Will he ever return?
That's a good question. I mean, and that's a good point that you're saying there, V, is you're just in a different time. Listen to me. Coaching sports in today's day and age – and this is an understatement, is just there's no comparison to prior years. You know,
no.
it gets different, and it's you have to adjust. I mean, it's incredible to me to see, you know, athletes. You know, 10 years ago when I was coaching football, like I said, I coached 2020 was my 20th year coaching football. I was named the head football coach at Kearney High School in San Diego, California, and never got to coach it down. Actually, that's one of the reasons I ended up in Tennessee was that was COVID year and the governor out there decided no youth sports. I had compiled a coaching staff of 19 coaches and started doing Zoom calls with our players and everything. And then You know, they said no youth sports, which, you know, that really affected, you know, youth in that particular year. Yeah. You know, we're 3 years removed from that now, but I'm just saying that, man, things have changed. Even back, you could be hard on players. You know, some of the things that probably, here's where also I blame it. I don't blame it just on players. Okay. Mm-hmm. I blame it on coaches too, because coaches have to adjust. Okay. You can't walk into the room anymore and
knock down a chalkboard.
No, you can't.
You can't do that.
You can't throw things. You can't be crazy. But what you do need to do as a coach, and this is one of the top three things you have to be as a coach, is you have to be able to adjust to each of your players because they're each different.
Correct.
And how you respond and how you speak and how you handle situations. There's some players I could get up in their grill and let them have it and they'd respond.
Yeah.
There's other players, mainly kickers, that I'd get on them. Well, what'd you do that for, you know? Well, I wasn't thinking. I'm like, I know you weren't thinking. I mean, I had an incident like that years ago. I'm like, good Lord in heaven. I made, you know, I don't want anybody to cry, but yeah. It was a kicker. And so I'm just saying that you have to know who you're communicating with, who you're working with, who can you count on to be a leader? That's the thing that I say that is interesting about the teams that are left in the playoffs mm-hmm. for the NBA, because you've got, here's your teams that are left in the playoffs, and then I'll go over the series in just a second here, but you've got Denver and Phoenix playing each other, okay?
Great leadership.
Great leadership in both programs, right? Mm-hmm. And really, you know, I'll get into Phoenix in a second, Ayton, I haven't seen him step where he needs to, but Lakers, Warriors, enough said. Everybody wanted mm-hmm. to see that series, mm-hmm. and you're getting it, you know, and it's going to be a good one, I think. In the East, you've got Boston and Philadelphia. You got leaders on those teams.
Absolutely.
You know, Boston's probably the best team in the NBA, in my opinion. And yes. then you've got the Knicks and Heat. You've got leadership.
Yep.
You've got leadership. You also have depth. I mean, the coach, Miami Heat's Spoelstra, right. has been there through it all. You know, other than Popovich over in San Antonio, I believe he's probably the most tenured NBA coach in the NBA right now. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think I'm close to right. Actually, I'm probably right because I'm the coach.
Yeah.
So if I'm wrong, sports fans, you let me know that. But leadership in Denver and Phoenix and Lakers and Warriors and Boston and Philadelphia and Knicks and Heat, NBA, take note, because those are the models that you're looking at if you choose to try and get to this level next. In those right. series, by the way, Denver, you know, I hadn't watched a lot of Denver Nugget basketball in a long time, but gosh, since my friend Eduardo Nájera, I don't know if you remember him, he played for, yeah, that's a throwback to the Dallas Mavericks and played in Denver as well. But I'll tell you, I watched him game one. Denver's tough. I mean, they are. Murray's tough. He's a tough. So I'm curious to see how they move through it. But Phoenix is tough too. So the series right now is 2-1 Denver. Phoenix put a whooping, didn't they? Put Nick, the producer's here, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. So hey, big clap out, Nick, shout out, Nick, Big Nick Big Nick on 3 hours of sleep again. My man, looking sharp too with the haircut.
I'm with you, Nick.
Yes, sir.
I like it. But
breaking a record.
But you know, Phoenix put a whooping last night. You know, they're 2-1 in that series. Denver, Lakers, Warriors, which is tonight. That's a 1-1. Knicks Heat 1-1 tonight. Hopefully Jimmy Butler's back. And then you've got Boston and Philly. Boston's really in control of that game, I think. I think that they're really in control of that game. So it's going to be a fun series to watch. Let me ask you this, because we're getting ready to go to break here in just a second and then take a couple phone calls. Who wins the West? So the four teams remaining, Denver and Phoenix and the Lakers and the Warriors, who wins the West and gets to compete in the NBA Finals for a championship?
Denver. I'm going to step out and say Phoenix. Phoenix is going to win the West.
There you go.
So we're going to hold you to that.
There you go.
Hold me to it.
I'm putting it right now. I'm writing a note. Sedge. Phoenix. West. Okay, I got that. What you thinking, Randall?
Denver,
okay. Why do you think Denver? Because we don't really talk about Denver much.
They got a great – that's a great 1-2 punch.
Complete team.
Okay.
So Porter. They got quiet Porter.
Yeah.
Doing it. But they got a great 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
And
they're being coached.
Yes.
You can tell the difference. You can tell the mentality of the players. They're being coached.
And I'm convinced Joker's a real deal.
And you can tell on the floor.
He's a real deal.
That it's a smooth transition.
And I'm a Dallas guy. I love Luka Doncic.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas. Man, okay. Did you really bring up the Dallas Mavericks when we're talking about real championship franchises here?
We won one.
Okay.
One.
He'll bring up the Cowboys in a minute.
Yeah.
That's in, them up. That's in the second segment.
Okay. They're no longer. I mean, I'll say this. Thank you for bringing up the Dallas Mavericks because it reminded me of what they tried to do. And Mark Cuban, you know, bless your heart. By the way, I didn't know what bless your heart means until I moved to the South. Like, I thought it was people being nice to me when I got here.
No.
It's not.
No.
Bless your heart.
That if you have a baby and somebody says, "Oh, bless his heart,"
that's not
a very
attractive. Right, has three eyes.
Well, I'm not going to be carrying a baby anytime soon. So that's that part. I'm just me. 6'4", 250 pounds, and I get the "Oh, bless your heart." I'm like, bless my. And so finally, I just asked somebody. I'm like, why is everybody saying that? That I mean, they're so nice. And one of my guys at work at Nashville Toyota North where I work, Jimmy said, "Coach, that's not a very good thing that they're saying to you." And I said, "Well, it sounds so nice." And they go, "No, that just means there's something wrong with you." And I'm like, "Or you're doing something wrong, or you're saying something wrong." I'm like, "All right, well, bless your heart. All right, I'm moving on, people."
Yeah, like Ben Simmons.
Bless his heart. So I've learned some new things. I've learned how to eat a lot of barbecue.
Is he healthy? Is he
physically?
Mental.
Ben Simmons got some work to do. He's got to get his life together and or whatever. Who knows what's going on
three
there?
3 to 4 years removed?
Mm-hmm. V, who do you have coming out of the West? We got to go quickly here. But who you
I say Denver.
Denver. So we got two coming out of the West.
Denver.
Okay, I'm going to go with I think the Warriors are going to come out of the West. Okay. Who's going to come out of the East? And you've got Boston, Philadelphia, Knicks, and Heat.
Boston?
I mean, easy pick. Boston. But, you know, Dallas Cowboy fans do.
No.
Just take the course of least resistance. Well, you know.
We're not going to talk about San Diego.
Coach, I've got
San Diego people.
Coach, I've got a shocker for you. You know who's going to come out of the East? Boston.
No.
I did some serious research, huh?
No.
No. Okay.
Who is it, V? Who's coming out of the East?
The Heat.
All right. I'd like to see it. I love seeing Jimmy Butler.
I'm sounding like saying now.
No.
The Heat. All right. Who you got, Sedge?
Well, I'm gonna go with Boston. With Boston.
Good choice.
They got the experience. They got the leadership that we just spoke on.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been right there the last 5 years. So
change of coach and all.
Yes. And they've been there, and they seem like a solid team, an experienced team. I'm going to go with experience.
The Heat in six.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, you're right though. I mean, if you think about Boston and the Lakers are the two most successful franchises in NBA history, and where are they back again? They're back again, close to getting to the finals again. So wrapping it up, it looks like the NBA is going to be a lot of fun here coming. We are sponsored by Nashville Toyota North. We have a special guest coming up that is very connected to the Tennessee Titans. You are going to want to listen to him on the other side. I see you out there. I see you. Let's go.
And without further ado, if you're a sports fan in the Nashville area, you must know our guest. Our guest is a legendary sports broadcaster and sports extraordinaire, Mr. Chip Hoback. Chip, how you doing?
Chip. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning,
hey, Chip.
Hey, what's going on, Chip? How you doing out there?
Oh, I'm doing good. Getting ready to hit some golf balls.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Oh, boy. Hey, I'm out of here in about 25 minutes. I got my clubs in the back of my car. I'll meet you out there wherever you're at.
Yeah, I might stay in back of my car.
That, me too. All right. You already have a lot in common here. Chip, it's not just that, but of course, sports. Boy, I was looking at everything not everything you've done, but the list was so long of everything you've done. It's just so impressive, and I'm in awe of the opportunities you've had throughout your career. Tell us some of the things that you've just enjoyed the most throughout, and how many years has it been that you've been in sports broadcasting and sports in general?
Well, I studied radio and television in college at Murray State, and that was in the 70s. So, yeah, instead of working for the college station, I went out and got a job at a radio station in Benton, Kentucky, and was able to do a lot of different things, news, sports, and a lot of, and DJ, spinning the records, you know. And so I learned play-by-play from one of the best that I've ever heard. His name's Jim Freeland, and he still owns that station in Benton, Kentucky. We stay in touch to this day, and he gave me the ins and outs on how to paint a picture on the radio. And, you know, there's not many better than Jim Freeland. I tell you, he should have been on a network somewhere. But I got to learn from the best. From there, I went to Clarksville, Tennessee after school. I managed a radio station in Missouri for a while, and then went to Clarksville and did some high school games. And then after that, a couple of years later, I became the voice of the Govs, did Austin Peay's radio mm-hmm. for years. And I moved to Nashville to work for Channel 4 as a sports anchor, and worked with doing PA for the Nashville Cats when the arena was brand new. That was
wow.
the first.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
At the arena was the Nashville Cats arena football team. And boy, what was that fun. Sold out games and mm-hmm. and rock and roll football. They had a lot of dancing girls and a lot of giveaways, music, and a little bit of football thrown in. So.
A little bit.
Yeah. But after that, I did television across the Southeast for several regional networks like Fox Sports South and Madison Square Garden Network and several others. And just, I was kind of like, I just pick up and go wherever they wanted me to for the weekend, and did that for several years, and had the opportunity when my son was young to stay home by announcing the Vanderbilt games.
Okay.
So I did Vanderbilt football and basketball on PA there for about 10 years. And that was a great thing. And so during that time, I got involved with Montgomery Bell Academy. Daniel McGugan was the coach over there, the new coach. And he, you know, the McGugan family tied with Vanderbilt had heard me do games for years. So they Daniel invited me over there to do Montgomery Bell Academy games. And I do those to this day. I really enjoy Friday night football.
Nothing better. Nothing better. So So currently, what do you got going on these days? What are you doing out there in the sports world?
Well, I do the OVC tournament every year. And the last several years, it's been in Evansville. And that's a lot of fun. It's 14 games in 4 days. So it's a lot of announcing and hanging up with old friends. I've been involved with the OVC tournament since the 70s. So, wow. You know, a lot of great friends still around that. The tournament, the conference has changed a lot, especially the last several years with Murray State leaving and Austin Peay leaving and Belmont leaving.
Eastern Kentucky.
It changed a lot. Eastern Kentucky, Jacksonville State. So it's a whole new league, but they're bringing in some new teams that ought to make it exciting for the future.
That's true. Oh, that's good. That's good. Now, you're also connected to the Titans. And what capacity are you connected with them, Chip?
Well, whenever Kevin Ingram has a road game at Vanderbilt, they let me come in there and do the PA in the press box for the media.
Okay. Nice.
So some years I do a lot of games. Some years I do just one or two. So, but great atmosphere in there. And you know, working professional football is – I take it very seriously and do a lot of prep for that and make sure I get everything right. And I have to make my own rosters with a great big font because I'm old, you know.
Yeah, I have to actually do both. I actually have to have glasses on like I have right now so I can see up close. And then I use the 66 font size to type out my notes for the show. So I'm with you, Chip. I'm with you. So
it's real interesting using readers and binoculars.
Yeah, I'll bet. That is really interesting.
It is. Squinting
might have
hard.
To Chip, we might have to, after we play golf, we might have to head over and go get some progressive lenses so we don't have to take the readers off, you know? Kind of get up with the time. So, hey, being with the Titans, let's talk a little. We're getting ready to talk NFL football here in just a minute. But what do you think about the draft? What do you think? I feel there's optimism there with the Tennessee Titans, where honestly a few weeks ago I didn't know, we didn't know what they were were they going to rebuild? I mean, things started changing once they got rid of A.J. Brown and then rumors of Derrick Henry, you know, heading out. But after the draft, I'm on the other side now. I'm very optimistic about things moving forward for the Titans. What's your thoughts on the Titans?
Well, being the backup indoor PA announcer for the media, they tell me everything.
I bet they do. Right, I'm sure.
No, I'm like everybody else. I just take a look at it from a fan's perspective. And, you know, I thought the first draft, it's so obvious that we needed help on the offensive line over the last couple of years. People might gripe about Ryan Tannehill, but that guy's taken a beating. I mean, he has had no blocking. And for the guy to be as durable as he has and still be able to put the numbers up that he has is pretty amazing. And so I think that, you know, the guy they got from Maryland, the guy they got from Northwestern, mm-hmm. And they're going to be bringing in some people to shore up that offensive line for not only him, but for Derrick Henry. So, you know, the offensive line was the first priority. I think, you know, hopefully these guys work out to make that solid. After that, you know, and people are talking about the quarterback, Levis from Kentucky, mm-hmm. and, you know, he's bringing in a backup role, and we'll see if he's a future. But it's kind of similar because Kentucky had a terrible offensive line, and he was able to do what he did with a bad offensive line.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're kind of similar in that way. So hopefully he can learn from Tannehill, who doesn't have that many years left, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. You may have heard this or read this where they asked Tannehill about the, you know, quarterback selection. He said deja vu. You know, obviously referencing the year before with him taking Willis. So, and you probably saw this where Vrabel came out and said, "Hey, look, I've got three quarterbacks. It's Tannehill, it's Willis, and it's Levis." So, you know, however that pans out through training camp and the offseason here, it's going to pan out. But you know, I won't ask you who you think is going to be the starter day one. I'll ask these guys in the room. But I have optimism, and it sounds like you do too as well, Chip. You're right, boy. Derrick Henry's taking a beating too. I mean, he's a big man, but when you continue to get chopped down at the line of scrimmage by you know, D tackles and even cornerbacks and linebackers, mm-hmm. popping you before you even get a yard beyond the line of scrimmage, you could tell that he was a different back this past year. We're excited for the Titans season, and Titans fans, you should be as well. So, hey, we've got something big coming up here, the Kentucky Derby. Now, I read some things that you're very involved with horse racing, and share with us a little bit about what your involvement is with that, and then I won't make you pick a winner for the Kentucky Derby, but I did see there were four scratches. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that, but four scratches for the race. But give us a kind of insight as to what you're into when it comes to the thoroughbreds and that.
Well, I grew up in Louisville. So before I moved away to go to college, my formative years were in Louisville. And, you know, you get out of school on Friday in Louisville so you can learn how to drink bourbon and smoke cigars and gamble.
Right.
So it's kind of in your blood. I even have a lot of decorations around my house around the Kentucky Derby and horses. I've got a lot of art from Churchill Downs and
wow.
and all of that. But, you know, it's just kind of in your blood when you're from Louisville. And you know, it's a two-week celebration. And if you ever get a chance to go up there, Thunder Over Louisville is what kicks off the Derby Festival. And that is the world's largest fireworks display. They've got an air show over the Ohio River. And there's
wow.
Half a million people down there watching it. So that's an incredible thing to experience is that. And they have all kinds of different events, probably 50 or 60 different events over the 2 weeks. They have hot air balloon races. They've got the great steamboat race. They've got the Pegasus parade. You know, there's just tons of events going on. And
wow.
it's a two-week party in Louisville. And there's nothing like it.
I've watched it, you know, I watch it every, I don't remember the last year that I've watched, I bet on it as well, which that's always fun. A little, you know, win play show. That's always fun to do as well. But the floppy hats and the attire and the drinks and just the atmosphere, you know, I was out in, Chip, I was out in San Diego. That's where I'm from. And, you know, we had Del Mar Racetrack out there, and it's just not even compared to what you got up there in Louisville, but no comparison, but just being around the thoroughbreds and That environment's a lot of fun out there. Love it, love it, love it. So I've got a final question for you, and this is probably going to be a tough one. You and I actually spoke last night on the phone about this, but as you look at your career, which I'm envious of, I sell cars for a living, and I do this here, so I'm blessed to be able to do this here. But when you look at your career and all of the different sports that you've been around, all the different sporting events you've been around, we just talked about the Kentucky Derby, but if you had to name one or two that you think were just the most spectacular, amazing sporting event that you've ever been to or seen or in your life, that you in your career, what would that be? Would you know? And I'm thinking of some here in Tennessee. You know, the miracle the Titans had there. When was it? Gosh, that was a while ago. But what would be a couple of your picks of just the most incredible moments in your sports life that you have seen?
Well, I took my son. We had PSLs when the new stadium was here, and my son was probably 8 or 9 at that time. He's 30 now, so
wow.
I just got married.
Wow! Yeah,
he was at the miracle game with me, and he was in his little Titans uniform that he got at Kroger with the shoulder pads and the helmet.
I love it.
Yeah. And so we stayed. There's a lot of people that left before that happened. So we were still in the 6 rows off the field, and they dog piled right in front of us. So that was an experience that was incredible because everybody thought it was over.
Right.
As far as announcing goes, I've announced a lot of great football games, baseball. I've done, you name it, most different. I've done water skiing. I've done a lot of different sports.
Wait a second, Chip. Hold on 1 sec. How in the world do you announce water skiing? I mean, there he goes on the water. Oh, there he went over a jump. This is a beautiful scene out here on the lake. How do you do that, Chip? Tell me.
Well, there are actually lakes made specifically for water skiing, and they're not very big. And there's a home stretch where they have the slalom and competitions, and then there's the jump competitions, and then they have trick skiing competitions. So,
wow.
Yeah, I was able to do that one time.
Wow. All right, well, good
he
times.
He did it, man.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Well, like I said, I am envious of everything you've got to do, and obviously you've earned it. And you know, Nashville and the state of Tennessee and beyond appreciates your career to this point. Excited to see what's on the other side for you as well. And you are a friend on the League Sports Talk Show now. We are so glad that you took some time this morning. Early in the morning now, go out there. And I'm going to ask you a question, too. What's your handicap there, Chip? See how much golf you've been playing.
Yeah, just about every winter, my handicap will jump up to about a 12, and then I'll go down in the summertime to about a 6. So right now I'm about a 10.
Okay. We need to have you on the show a little more often because you are playing way too much golf, my friend.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. No, there's no such thing.
That's right. Well, hey, you are welcome anytime on the League Sports Talk Show. We appreciate it, and already feel very connected to you. And, hey, man, go Titans, and we're just going to enjoy this offseason and get ready for the new season, the NFL coming up, and college football, and it all starts all over again. We love it, and that's why we are the League Sports Talk. So thank you so much, Chip.
Thank you, Chip.
Anything for Sedge.
Thank you,
Chip. Yeah, buddy, Sedge is in the house. Hey, Sedge has got his Miami Hurricanes shirt on, and last week his Chicago Bears Walter Payton jersey. So he is showing his true colors here at the League Sports Talk Show.
Yes, yes. I love them all. I'm a true sports fan, guys. Come on.
There you go.
All right. We appreciate you, Chip. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Chip.
All right, Chip.
Thank you. Oh, there you go, Chip Hoback. Boy, I'll tell you, I am completely envious of everything he's gotten to do and gotten to see throughout his career, and that's awesome. And just sounds like a great guy. We will have him on the show again for sure throughout the summer and as we approach the training camps and the NFL and things of that sort. So, you know, as he talked about the Titans there, boy, he brought up some things that I've been thinking about too. I went back and watched some of the film. You know, I was wondering what was wrong with Derrick Henry. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with Derrick Henry.
No.
There's not. Some people might say he's aged or he's taken too much of a beating. Yeah, he took too much of a beating last year especially. And a running back in general takes a beating. I mean, they do. I mean, it's just the nature of the position. I mean, they average length of a career in the NFL is what, 3 years?
3 years.
Something like that. You know, running backs might be even shorter than that. But I like what he said about the offensive line. Sedge said that a couple, two, 3 weeks ago about we need offensive linemen. You got offensive linemen now, Sedge.
Yes.
And what do you think changes now? They were 7-10. So listen, this is the thing I think I failed to mention, so I take responsibility. They lost seven in a row. I mean, you hear what I'm saying? They lost seven games in a row to close out the season. So that tells me you're really not that far away, right? Because you lost Tannehill, so you had to play Willis. I mean, I don't know. Randall's giving me this face of, what are you talking about, coach? I don't know, Randall. What are you talking about with your facial expression? Let's just see that, huh?
It was a great pick. I think they need to address the offensive line. But we still don't have a receiver.
Yeah.
And I'm not sold on Trey Burks. I'm not sold yet. Mm-hmm. I was hoping in the draft that they did go to the wide receiver.
I did too. I really thought that they was going to address that position a little more, and they didn't.
They didn't. And they had the opportunity too. But I do understand the offensive lineman. I understand that. But there were still some guys available at receiver when they came up again.
I mean, some really good guys that were available.
Marvin Harris Jr. I'm
And
he didn't even get picked.
So I need to brush up on the free agents out there because I'm not thinking – I mean, Odell Beckham is gone. I think he was one of the top guys out there. I don't know who else out there that can make an impact.
Yeah, you don't have many. I mean, going into March, the list has changed now, and some of these –
Antonio Brown.
Some of these players have – Antonio Brown.
He's playing Arena League –
He's free, all right. I don't know if you call him free agent.
They say he's part owner, right?
Yes.
And the team is already dysfunctional.
Yeah, well.
They are. It's,
really?
Yeah, I'm just reading he ain't pay his players or coaches.
And there really aren't many. There really aren't free. There's not, let's put it this way. There's at this point of the year, we're already in May. Okay, there's not going to be a wide receiver out there that's going to make any major impact on any team at all.
Mm-mm.
You know, if you're going to try and find a wide receiver, you're finding a third wide receiver, somebody that can come out and put up, 30 catches maybe for the season. There's not anybody out there that's going to light it up and, get 70, 80 catches and, 1,200 yards. It's just not going to happen. But, I want to give you a few things here as we go to the fastest 5 minutes in sports, and I'm going to throw you some quick hits out there, okay? So be ready. You ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
You're ready.
All right, here we go. So last to first. So we're talking about the Tennessee Titans. They weren't in last in their division, but last first. Here's the teams that were last football season, okay? It was the New York Jets, Cleveland Browns, the Texans, the Broncos, the Bears, the Falcons, and the Cardinals, which was just surprising to me. None of those other ones really surprised me. But who can go from last to first? Very quickly, gentlemen.
Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns. Cleveland.
You knew what I was going to say. He stole my pick.
Not the Jets.
Go ahead, Randall. Go ahead and say it. Say it as well.
Cleveland.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I can't even believe we're putting Cleveland in. Nick,
we
should just cut the show right now. Sorry, show's over. Because Cleveland's going to the Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson, who hasn't played.
Don't be surprised.
Okay. All right. So you guys say Cleveland's going last to first. Who do you got, Sedge, going last to first?
Got to go with my team.
Your Bears?
Go with my Chicago Bears.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
We had an excellent draft.
Talk about a homer.
We had an excellent free agency signing.
Bless your heart.
I'm going with the Bears.
Okay, it's bless cold, your heart.
Bless your heart.
And bless your heart, Randall. It's bless cold, your heart, V. I'm going to go with the Jets, okay? They're loaded with talent. You pick up a guy that's already won a Super Bowl. You pick up a guy that's just consistently in the playoffs in Aaron Rodgers, and why wouldn't he come in? I'm a believer in Saleh, coach. He's a tough coach, and their defense is going to be good. They're going to have a running game.
True.
I don't see anything coming out of the Browns. Oh, sorry. We already talked about that.
Oh, wow.
Or the Tech. I don't see the Tech. I see the Broncos improving. They got a football coach now. And the Commanders, who knows? Bears, we already talked about that. Next.
Yes,
Falcons, Cardinals. I mean, those are some of your last place teams. I don't think really other than the Jets, but most of them don't have a chance. You can argue or disagree about that. But, I'm excited about the football season, gentlemen. We're moving through the summer. We've got a little bit of a lull, but we do have the NBA playoffs. We do have the NHL playoffs. Some exciting things getting ready to happen. Mm-hmm. We crown a champion in the NBA here coming up in June, which is probably going to be the Lakers. Yeah, homer to the Los Angeles Lakers, but we will see. We will see. I mean, listen to me. If you can see, if you two can say Cleveland Browns to go to first, and you can say the Chicago Bears to go to first, I can certainly say the Los Angeles Lakers can win the world championship.
I need
gentlemen.
You to look at their roster.
I'll run with that.
You look at Cleveland Browns roster. And we're talking about Deshaun Watson, but they have quietly the best running back in the game, Nick Chubb.
Oh, boy.
Let me ask you something, Coach.
Yes.
With the Jets, is it championship or bust?
With the who?
Jets.
The Jets.
Absolutely. The Jets.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, yeah, you spend the money you spend. Absolutely, 100%. Okay. Do you have a Raiders shirt on?
You already know, man.
V, you have a Raider Nation shirt on.
Come on, man.
I'll tell you, this is going to be a fun offseason. We're going to have a lot of fun on the League Sports Talk Show, gentlemen. This show is sponsored by Nashville Toyota and Art. Bless your heart. I've learned so much since I moved here. I'm excited to be here, excited about this show. We're having fun. Thank you, Nick, the producer, for always putting a great show together. Yep. And so I see you out there. I see you out there listening to us. We're excited. In the coming days, we're going to get you on Facebook. We're going to get you on Twitter. You're going to be talking to us during the show. We're going to have some fun on the League Sports Talk Show, the first sports talk show in the state of Tennessee, maybe in the history of the world. We are here for you guys. I'm out.
Peace out.